is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyChronos.com, always here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Pacers, trying to share what I see and hear and ponder, just like you. On this episode, we will look ahead to the end of the Pacers' five-game West Coast road trip in Dallas on Friday, and they will head back home right after the game and have a back-to-back at the Fieldhouse against the Portland Trail Blazers. So we'll check in on what the Blazers were up to as they played on Thursday night. As the Pacers try to start building a little momentum on the winning side of things after taking the game in Phoenix with a fine finish. So first I want to encourage you to check in with any questions or comments. You can hit me on email at indychronos@gmail.com. and on Twitter at IndyChronos. Now, I am still out in the Bay Area. I've been out here on a little day job assignment for the week, and that allows me to watch the Warriors play and watch them tonight against the Utah Jazz. They jumped out to a 29-5 lead. Jazz are playing severely shorthanded. Seen this movie before, but somehow Joe Ingles fueled a valiant comeback and put the Jazz back within, single digits most of the fourth quarter. And actually, the game ended up just being a 7-point loss for the Jazz. But nonetheless, it was a loss, although the Jazz were playing without Indy legends Gordon Hayward and George Hill, along with another starter, Rodney Hood. So George Hill has been out with a sprained toe, I think, 5 games now. He's been out 11 of the Jazz 24 games with different injuries. So the Jazz are 6-7 without Hill, actually looking like a pretty strong team with Hayward and Hill. I think, I don't know how many games they've played together, but it hasn't been that many because Hayward was out at the beginning of the season. So they are a young team that is definitely going to be a potentially challenging playoff team if they can remain healthy enough to continue playing well and make it into the playoffs. So as for the Pacers' next opponent, Dallas Mavericks, they have also been playing shorthanded. Dirk Nowitzki is out, J.J. Barrera has been out, and Andrew Bogut, along with Seth Curry. So I know for the Pacers game, currently their injury list has Nowitzki, Bogut, and Barea as out, and Seth Curry as questionable. But it sounds like Curry may not be ready to go at this point. Now, the Mavs on Wednesday were knocked out by the Sacramento Kings 120-89, and that loss, despite being shorthanded, prompted a players-only meeting and some soul-searching. So it sounds like the Pacers are going to have a host Mavericks team that is dying to win a game here, but we'll see if they have enough firepower. Kind of hard to consider the fact they're struggling with a loss with so many guys on the injury list, but I think the way that game went down was the problem. They were only down by 4 at the half, and they ended up losing by 31. So the situation where they were just overwhelmed down the stretch and rolled over, and that was probably the biggest issue that drew the players meeting after the game. And there are enough pros in there that it doesn't matter who you are, you don't want to get beat like that. So it sounds like, again, the Pacers are going to face a Mavericks team that is focused on trying to play better and play to win. So that'll be an interesting matchup. And the Pacers, for their part, are kind of happy they got over that hump in Golden State, no matter how ugly it was, took care of business, and were able to finish strong in Phoenix and get that win and put themselves in position to return home with a 3-2 record on this road trip. As we mentioned before the trip, that would be an ideal number. As they took off, you consider the back-to-back with the Clippers and the Warriors to be potential losses on the road. And if they could take care of the other games, they're 3-2. But as usually happens on these trips, there's a bad loss, as they had in Portland. There's a big win, as they had against the Clippers. And then now they're left with the loss of Golden State, the win at Phoenix, and the Dallas game up in the air to provide a 3-2 record to go home. Now, as we've mentioned in the past, dangerous games on the road trips are always that last roadie, as guys are going home, and then the first game home. Of course, the Pacers are going to have those back-to-back with Portland in on Saturday, so they're going to have to dig deep into their reserve of will and effort to win games, to get both those games. Obviously, we know the Portland game is going to be a severe challenge as far as the matchup goes, because of the way they ran all over the Pacers in Portland just a week and a half ago. But getting that game against Dallas is going to be key. And the fact that the Mavs are going to be without those four players I mentioned, Nowitzki, Bogut, Barrera, and possibly Seth Curry. J.J. Barrera on his own has been a Pacers killer every year, it seems like. He finds a way in the home opener, start of the season. Pacers had to go to overtime to beat the Mavs, and Barrera was a big reason why, with 22 points off the bench. Those four players combined for 57 points in that first meeting, and really Barrera was the guy who kept the Mavs hanging around, hanging around, hanging around, and then they almost stole that game, but Pacers were able to hold on and win in overtime. They've been really good in overtime. Hopefully they won't have to use extra minutes in Dallas to get a win, and they can take care of business, because the Pacers, for their part, are still healthy. No one's on the injury list, and it's been several games now, and so hopefully they're building up that stamina of a healthy team and getting those roles defined. I know the bench is definitely coming into shape, and Rodney Stuckey had that big game in Phoenix, actually finished out the game in place of Monte Ellis. So that's where we will keep an eye on the playing rotation to see how Monte is handled. Now he'll have a day off of rest, always better with a little rest. But it seems like Nate McMillan is not shy about adjusting his lineup, trying to find a tweak here and there to find a way to get better production, whether with the starting unit or on the bench. So whether it's trying a little bit of a tweak with the starting lineup rotation there in the fourth quarter, or with the reserve rotation. So again, the Pacers are day-to-day, and as McMillan mentioned after the game in Phoenix, you know, it was a grind. They fought it out. They found a way to get something going, and then, you know, having the best player on the floor and Paul George, which will be the case again in Dallas, they will have the best player, is always a bonus and always something that you have to cash in on when those opportunities arise. So Pacers should be in good shape against Dallas. It'll be a matter of having that will to win, and it seems like a real focus on coming home with a 3-2 record, something to build on. This team is desperately seeking an identity and some consistency, and this is a real chance for them to, again, show that they are moving in the right direction in that area. They need to be able to lean on each other, trust each other from night to night. It just hasn't been the case. The fluctuations in the effort and results have been too drastic for the Pacers this year. And now that they've been healthy, fully healthy for a few games, been able to have the different playing rotations consistently, so they are aware of roles and expectations within those roles and what they can do and how, you know, how different guys are playing. You know, you get used to playing with a guy, you're getting them shots where they want them, and trying to cover up things. So the Pacers should be in good shape in Dallas. You should expect to win that game. There's just no doubt about it. And a team that's trying to make the playoffs is going to win that game in Dallas. So can't wait to see how the Pacers show up on Friday night. And fortunately, I will be back in Indy as long as the weather cooperates. And I don't have any flight issues. That is not a given. It's pretty gnarly out in the Bay Area as well. Not as cold, but colder than usual out here. Foggy, rainy. I'm just hoping my plane gets off in the morning, my connection is okay, and I can get into town in the early afternoon, and look forward to checking out the game Friday night. Now, Saturday night, Pacers are back home, as I mentioned, and they will immediately get back into action against the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers just ran all over the Pacers in the first game of this road trip. Bad matchup was Al Jefferson in that reserve unit, as the Blazers used their athletic front court guys, namely Mason Plumlee, to create a mismatch with that group. We'll see what the Pacers do to counter this time around. The Blazers are having a struggle this year as well. They're kind of similar to the Pacers, as I think mentioned at the time when they were playing in Portland, but they are currently at 500, 12-12, and have lost their last two games. On Thursday, they played in Memphis and appeared to be on their way to a win, a solid win against a Grizzly team that is got the grit and grind going now in Memphis, with even though they're playing shorthanded without Michael Conley, they still have the big fella, Marc Gasol, and of course, Tony Allen, spearheading the defensive effort. So buckets never come easy in Memphis, but the Blazers were up by double digits midway through the fourth quarter, and then things just slipped away. They missed some key free throws down the stretch and ended up dumping the game 88-86 to that shorthanded Grizzly team. So that's a team the Pacers are going to have to deal with on Saturday night at the Fieldhouse, and you know the Blazers will surely be trying to bounce back after dropping their last two. They will not be taking anything for granted after that. So in that sense, you kind of wish they would have held on to win that game by double digits before they came to Indy. But it looked like the Blazers started. Evan Turner, he was coming off the bench earlier as they've been scrambling to try and tweak that rotation. I know when the Pacers were out there, Ed Davis was starting at power forward. They were kind of going with a normal lineup. Now they're using Myers Leonard as a starter as well. He's not playing heavy minutes, but between he, Ed Davis, and Aminu, the Blazers front guard players seem to split those minutes up, and kind of I think it appears to, you know, go with the hot hand. So Blazers were struggling from distance, made just 7 of 28 three-pointers on the night. So they got that lead and then just crumbled down the stretch. So we'll see if there are any more changes to that lineup. They may go back to what they used the first time against the Pacers because it worked so well. Couldn't blame them for doing that. But interesting when you have Evan Turner playing with Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, because Turner's a guy I think that's a little bit better player when he has a ball in his hand, and it seemed like he's a natural guy for a second unit in the NBA who can play kind of a point forward role, especially when you have a elite point guard like Damian Lillard starting for you and kind of definitely that takes the ball out of Turner's hands when he's playing with that starting rotation. So we'll see what kind of role he plays in Indy on Saturday. And we'll also see at the same time what the Pacers do with Monte Ellis, Rodney Stuckey, Aaron Brooks, backcourt rotation, as Stuckey was called on to help finish off the Suns. And we'll see if Nate McMillan continues to go that direction or is just working kind of a hot hand theory himself and playing what's working and sticking with that from night to night. You know, Monte Ellis has fluctuated greatly with his production, not necessarily numbers-wise, but impact on the game, and he hasn't always been shooting a lot, but in some of those games, he's had a big impact with some assists, some good defense, saw that against the Clippers, and so with the night off, heading into Dallas against his old team, you think he would be primed and ready for another big effort, but then again, with the back-to-back, Ellis has struggled coming back with no night's rest, and that might be one where Rodney Stuckey has to step up and play a little bit more. So, Pacers continue to be a work in progress. Good news is they're healthy and they're able to work through these issues now as the schedule gets into a critical phase where they're playing games that they should be in it to the end to win. And there's also critical games against teams that they're battling for in the playoff race. So now's the time to work out all those issues and get some momentum rolling, and most importantly, some consistency. Let us have something that we can lean on and rely on from night to night. And hopefully Paul George will lead that way as the team's best player. That consistent production falls on him as well. So he's got to be the kingpin for this team to get them going. And we'll see how they do against Dallas on Friday night. So thanks for listening. Again, you can reach me with any questions or comments by email at indycornrows@gmail.com. And on Twitter at indycornrows. As always, you can find us on audioboom.com or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all past episodes are available. So check them out. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it. Don't you, baby?